Well, as I was saying, we here at St Andrew's Church, all through this year, are working our way through what we call the story. What God is doing in his relationship with human beings. Right from the start, and as it will be to the end. And today, folks, we reach a milestone. Today is the last Sunday we'll be considering what happened in Old Testament times. In other words, everything that happened before Jesus came. And then, as of next week, we'll move into New Testament times. What happened when Jesus came and everything afterwards. So this really is the turning point for us today in our journey through the story. And so, picking up on some of today, and almost by way of summary, I want to share two main things that we have learned over these last weeks in our journey through the story. First of all, this, I think. God never gives up on his people. God never gives up on his people. That is to say that he is faithful to us. And I think if we've learned nothing else over these last months, it's been this. No matter how people have lived, no matter how people have let God down, he never gives up on us and is always faithful to us. In other words, God never says, okay, that's it. I'm finished with you once and for all. That's how it is sometimes in relationships between humans. We know, sadly, all too well that we humans, we experience broken relationships when things go wrong between us. And sometimes we get to that point when it can't be fixed anymore and people go their separate ways and there is nothing more heartbreaking. But though that may be true between humans, we find that with God, he is always faithful and never, ever gives up on us, gives up on you. And I just wonder if there are any here today, any of you here today, who need to know that God will never give up on you. Maybe people have. Maybe you've experienced that in your life, that someone has walked away from you. Someone has given up on you. Someone has been unfaithful to you in one way or another. And doubtless that has hurt you terribly. That's life. So often, you need to know that God would never and will never do that to you, because God is always faithful. You need to know he will never leave you and that God holds you in the palms of his hands. So maybe there are some of you here today who are going through tough times. Tough times in life. Maybe it's to do with your health, or you're out of work, or you're troubled by what's going on in life. I don't know the circumstances, but maybe you're struggling at the moment. Maybe you're wondering, what's it all about? I want you to know that even through the struggles, God is holding you lovingly in his hands. And God never excludes anyone from that promise. Every single person here today, God is holding you in his love. That never changes, and I hope it's a primary lesson that we've learned through the story. Second main lesson that I hope we have learned and to share about today is this. When people take account of God and live according to the ways that God sets down, generally things will go well in life. Generally. But the opposite is also true. When people ignore God, when we decide to live with no regard to God, and to live exactly our own ways and to heck with what God lays down, then there is a heightened possibility that things will go wrong in our lives. Now, this is a lesson that comes out through the whole of the Old Testament part of the Bible very clearly. But it is still, I'm sure, a principle that applies today, broadly speaking. Of course, there will be exceptions. And of course, there are times when perfectly good and well-living people suffer through difficult times. We all know examples of that, which I am not denying. But I am saying that a general rule of life is this. When we live by God's ways, when we factor God into our lives, generally things will go well. That is true for us as individuals. It is true for us as a church. And I think it is true for us as a nation. When you have a nation like the United Kingdom that takes seriously a way of life that God sets down, then watch how things go well. But when a nation decides that it can perfectly well do without God, and that the way of living need take no account of what God sets down for us, then you just watch how that nation begins to experience more and further difficulties. What should we do? I mean more now, I suppose, individually. What should we do if we find ourselves in that kind of place where, yes, life is in something of a mess? And if we are being totally honest, we realize, yes, I haven't given any space in life for God at all. What should we do if we want to sort that? Well, what we read today in the story of Nehemiah gives us some of the answers. Just before we share those by way of a little aside, did you know that Nehemiah was the smallest man in the whole of the Bible? The smallest man in the whole of the Bible. Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Oh, sorry. That does need apologizing for, doesn't it? What do we learn from his story, the story of Nehemiah? First of all, this. When Nehemiah became fully aware of all the ways in which he and the people of God had turned their backs on God and were ignoring his ways of life, the first thing he did was acknowledge it and say sorry for it. There's an old-fashioned word that we hardly use nowadays, but it's perfectly well summed up here. Repent. I sat down and wept. He was heart sorry for everything that had happened. Heart sorry that he and his brothers and sisters, the whole family of God, had so neglected God. He was heart sorry for it. And he sat down and he wept. That, to me, describes someone who is genuinely sorry for what has happened and for the way things have been. And if in your life things have been in a mess, and if you are honest enough to admit that I have not been living by God's ways, then the first step for you is something similar to this: to be genuinely sorry. The bit that I love about Nehemiah's sorrow is this: he takes his own part in it. Human beings are the best blame apportioners ever, aren't we? We are so brilliant at saying, it wasn't my fault, it was somebody else made me do it, or it was other people, not me. But I love here in Nehemiah, he says this: I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself, have committed. Don't be in the business of pointing the finger at Joan because she purloined an envelope. Rather, think on yourself. And think on the ways in which you've been living. And be honest about it, and maybe you begin to realize, you know, I have been selfish. I've been thinking more about myself than other people recently. I haven't been as loving to my family as I should have been. And so it goes on. Don't be in the business of pointing the finger, but as Nehemiah shows us, make sure you're including yourself. And so as we say sorry to God, we're making it personal. And having said sorry, we decide that we're going to change. We decide that we are going to start taking God into account. If he has had no place in our lives, we decide that we are going to make room for God. If he has been in our lives but pushed away to the side, we say, well, no, I'm going to have God in the middle. In other words, we decide to start honouring God, to start loving God as he deserves, putting him first in our lives. This is what we decide. You see, in Nehemiah's case, well, it became very practical. They were living there in Jerusalem, but still God's temple and God's city lay in ruins. The people had been seeing to themselves. They had rebuilt their own houses and all of those things, but they had completely neglected God, and everything of God, it was lying in ruins, and they realized that that had to change. And so they decided, come, let us rebuild. In other words, let us start rebuilding our lives. Let us start putting first what should be first. And my question to you is, in what ways does your life need rebuilding? So that which is most important is most important. And so that you have room for God in your life. And this is what they resolved. Come. And thereafter, folks, the most important thing is this, that you actually go and do that. You see, when we decide to factor God into our lives, it must be much more than a New Year's resolution, which is made around about midnight on Hogmanay and then forgotten the next morning. Might be that for some of you, you're going to walk out from church today deciding, yes, I'm going to make space for God in my life. Well, that's great. But then you've actually got to go and do it. And when it came to the rebuilding of the walls in Jerusalem, well, that's what they did. Wasn't just an idea that they had, wasn't just a resolution they made. They began the good work. Who among you, I wonder, needs to begin the good work today? Not living anymore just for yourself, but taking account of God and having Him first in your lives. Is it time for you to start? Just do it. Let's pray.